Your true calling is calling you. That's what we're talking about this whole month of June. So welcome. Glad you're with us. This is the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, Atlanta. And we are here to remind all of us that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. And because we know you are life appearing in its highest and greatest forms, we can only do one thing when we think of you, and that is celebrate you. We celebrate you, we care about you, we love you, because we know who you are. We know that you are that expression, that divine in individual form. And however you may be showing up, whatever identities you carry, whatever awarenesses you have of who you are, however you name yourself or call yourself, whatever group you were born into or culture you're part of, we know underneath and behind it all, you're an expression of the divine. And so we celebrate you, we salute you, we welcome you, and we invite you to spend the next hour with us simply in settling into thinking about what is your true calling. And that doesn't have to be a big, loud, noisy thing. It can be as simple as what do you really want? What do you really want to do and be? And not forever and ever, but for the next 5 minutes or the next hour. So welcome. We're glad you're with us. Settle back and get ready to learn and hear and participate in some good ideas. Some of that good idea comes to us and through us as our Declaration of Principle. This is what the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown stands on and is very much a part of. So I'd like to read it, invite you to read it if you choose to, along with me out loud. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love and operates, I can't believe this, creates out of a desire to express that love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life, the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. And now every week we bring in a wonderful practitioner. This is someone who has worked with this teaching, who understands it, who knows it upside down and backwards, and who has used it in his life in this case, and in the lives of other people. So I'm happy to welcome, on the 6th anniversary of his getting his license, Doug Moody. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bob Dean, and good morning, CSL Midtown. Happy Pride. So excited to be here with you guys. This is such an exciting month where we celebrate just the abundance of diversity and all of the good that brings to our world. I'm grateful to be here. I'm off work today, so I get to spend the whole session with you, which is really a treat for me. So I just really got into this week's theme, leaning into the discomfort with our monthly theme about the soul's calling. And it just kind of reminded me of something I'm always asking myself. What is calling you? What is calling you? And are you listening to that? Sometimes it's really easy to tune it out, but there's usually that little voice inside of you that keeps reminding you over and over, whether or not you're listening, because many times we're not, but it's kind of like, this is you. Anyhow, in light of that, I kind of found a couple of quotes. One, Ernest Holmes, who talks about the calling. And Holmes says, "The will of God for you is the will of boundless life flowing through you. It is the will of joy, of success, of happiness, of peace, of abundance." And if you're like me, and if you follow along in your little CSL journal with each Sunday's service and themes, there was a beautiful quote on today's pages by Eleanor Roosevelt, who reminds us, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop and look fear in the face. You must do the thing that you think you cannot do. Wow. How many times have we all been flat in that situation, in those circumstances? Well, as Dr. Bob Dean mentioned earlier today, it is actually 6 years in a week. It'll be 6 years in a week tomorrow that I graduated from my practitioner program via the Holmes Institute with a graduation celebration out at the Seaside Spiritual Living Center in Encinitas, California. And it was an amazing experience. But I got to tell you, the road getting to there was not easy. But I think that that's something that we can realize is pretty common with all of the things that we truly value and love with life. My mom as a kid used to say, life is beautiful, but there's no guarantee that it's going to be easy. And many times it's not. But anyhow, I have never really shared this with a whole lot of people, but I was about 6 weeks away from graduation in my practitioner training. And oh my God, my prayer partner who actually originally got me involved with the Holmes Institute to complete my practitioner training, dropped out of the program. And I was like, oh my gosh, if they dropped out, why am I still here? You know, she was so much better than me. You kind of start thinking about all this stuff. And at the time, I had just found out that, you know, my dad had been diagnosed by his doctors that he was going to be bedridden for the rest of his life. And so I was spending a lot of time. We had to get sitters to come in. And, you know, I was spending a lot of time with my parents' house. And thank God the Holmes Institute program accommodated me because I could join in my classrooms. All I needed was an internet connection, much like what we're connecting with this morning. And it's so beautiful how that whole experience kind of prepared me for where we are today with our virtual service here at CSL Midtown. But there was a point in this program in my practitioner training where I thought, oh, you know, this is just too much. I can't do this right now. And I remember taking a very deep breath and just saying, okay, just stop and be still and listen. And when I did that, I recall this little voice just reminding me, you can do this. Kind of like how President Obama used to say, yes, we can. And I have to tell you, it wasn't easy. There were a lot of different things going on. You know, my business was kind of, my consulting business in commercial real estate was kind of coming out of that whole post-Great Recession economy. And I was, you know, trying to build that up. My partner's stepdad had been diagnosed with liver cancer. And, you know, so we were dealing with them and our extended families kind of on both ends. And there was just a lot hitting me all at the same time. And I just didn't think that I had it within me to pull through all of that. And I think there was also a bigger part. It's that fear factor that we all face. But there was a bigger part of me that was concerned, am I good enough? Am I really going to be able to help people in this teaching? But the more I thought about it, the more I realized and remembered how much I absolutely love this teaching and how much this teaching has given to me and to my family and to my partner, Greg, and to my friends, and just what it has helped me achieve in my life. And when I thought about that, I realized that I would love to be able to help others recognize that potential within themselves too. That was my calling. And back in 1998, Reverend Kennedy Schultz asked me if I was interested in going on to becoming a practitioner. And I had just moved back to Atlanta and there was a lot of things, again, other things, and I just didn't feel that was the time. So my calling to this was taken very seriously. And I did it when I knew that I was ready for it. But as always, the best time is always now. And with what, and, you know, do it with what you have available, because even if you feel you don't have everything, somehow it all comes through. You have it within. Sometimes we just can't see that. But we need to be reminded of that. And that's what I love so much about this teaching. It's so powerful and uplifting. So a big shout out to all of my classmates. I call them my litter mates from my practitioner group, my practitioner training. It was a very joyful day on June the 7th, 2015 in Encinitas, California at Seaside's Center for Spiritual Living. The irony of that is there's a picture, a photograph of my class and my group. Dr. Bob Dean was there. He was actually at that time the head of education and practitioner training for CSL International with his job based in Denver. And he had come out to participate and guide us in our practitioner retreat. Good old fear to faith exercise always works. And just a lot of other things. So that was my first time meeting him. And of course, I had worked with Reverend Robert Brzezinski. He assisted Reverend Christine Tillotson in facilitating and teaching our class. He's been a great mentor. And the beauty of that is I'm in a photograph with both of them on the back row. And I love it because today I am working with both of them right here, right now, right here with you two. And I absolutely love that. My practitioner training and my role as a practitioner has brought me so much joy. Things that I never even imagined that I would be doing. And I absolutely love it. If you ever have any kind of inclination or question, or if you're kind of getting maybe that calling that a practitioner path might be something you are interested in, please feel free to talk to any of our wonderful practitioner staff here at CSL Midtown. We've got a great group of people and they'll be happy to help you out. So I just want to say thank you also to my wonderful community here at CSL Midtown Atlanta. I love every one of you. We've got so many great things going on right now here at CSL Midtown Atlanta. Our board is busy, busy, busy meeting. We're trying to make some great plans to make some really fun and exciting things happen for this center and for our community. Hopefully we'll be kicking off in September. We've got some surveys that are going out right now, gathering some information on what you'd like to see in that. And I think that's very exciting. So let's just join together right now in an opening prayer. This is going to be an affirmative prayer, and I'm going to say it in the first person. Just sit back in your seats and relax and accept what you would like and what resonates with you. And whatever doesn't resonate with you, just throw it over your shoulder and keep going. But let's just get comfortable and know this together. There is one infinite power, one divine wisdom, one cosmic something that is operating throughout the universe and operating through me in each present, right here, right now, and always. All I have to do is call this divine presence forward and recognize it. And when I do, I am connected with all of the creative power in this universe. The same power that created the stars and the sun, this beautiful earth, the trees, all the beautiful lilies and flowers and everything that is abundantly blooming right now in June, my favorite garden month. It is all beautiful. It is all good. And I and each are empowered with this same energy and wisdom. And today I claim divine love, divine wisdom, divine right action guiding me in each towards that journey in fulfilling my personal calling and the calling of each and every one present. I let go of fear, knowing that it has no place and can go right back to its nothingness where it came from. Instead, I seize the strength. I recognize the power. I recognize the divine love that is guiding me and every person towards their own beautiful and unique expression of life. And when I do so, I see that this world is a better, more beautiful, more loving place because of it. This is our true calling. This is the power that we are given to share with the world. And it is wonderful. I'm so grateful for this teaching. I am so grateful for this center. I'm so grateful for the love and the power of spirit that lives through me and every one of us. And knowing this, I release my word into the universal law, knowing full and well it is done. And we simply say together, and so it is. Thank you. And another little flashback, a beautiful song for reflective music this morning by Jamie Lula called Something's Calling Me. This song was actually performed at my graduation celebration, and I hope it resonates with you as much as it did with me. I still love it. I love you too. Thank you.
Something's calling me. Something's calling me. Something's calling me a little bit deeper than I ever been before. Feels like I'm walking on marbles. Can't still the earth beneath my feet. Is my head in the clouds? My naked legs left dangling. I can feel my heart begin to pound. Something's calling me a little bit deeper than I've ever been before. Something's calling me a little bit deeper than I've ever been before. A long dark night, my soul, it wanders. Can't see the light that moves me. If God is everything and everywhere, then I belong. Spirit gently wakes me from my sleep. Something's calling me a little bit deeper than I've ever been before. Something's calling me a little bit deeper than I've ever been before. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, take me deeper than I've ever been before. Oh Lord, oh Lord, pull me deeper than I've ever been before. Oh Lord, I know I'm not the only one to live inside these blues. Oh Lord, oh Lord, I give my life, I give my love to you. Oh Lord, oh Lord, I surrender my life to you. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Sometimes I will find the need to pray, and I can't find the words to say. The only prayer I sing is, oh Lord, oh Lord. Oh Lord, if you sing it with me now, oh Lord, oh Lord, if you can't think of the words, just sing, oh Lord. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Oh Lord.
Something's calling me. Calling me deeper than I've ever been before. What's calling you? What does that raise in you? What is it, what thoughts, what ideas does that bring for you when you hear that? I was thinking a lot. I've been thinking a lot about this week, is this whole business of the soul calling, that within me that's calling me to express, that's calling me to speak, that's calling me to something. And when did it first show up? And when was I first aware? And long before I would put that name on it of my soul calling me, there were things in my early childhood even that just called me, that I was so captivated by and caught up in, and that were so important in my life, and so created a sense of moving towards something. My family tells a story that when I was really a little tyke, my mother and father had a chenille bedspread, which was very popular in those days, in their bedroom. And it had this little three tracks that ran all the way around it. Some of you may have seen those. You know what I'm talking about. That's all the little puffs of fabric and stuff. But then there were these tracks that were laid out on the bedspread. And I'm told I spent hours and hours driving a little car all the way around, and then coming all the way back, and then all the way around, going boodin, 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 boodin the whole way. And you know, that urge to be in a vehicle, to have vehicles and to travel and do all that was right there when I was 4 years old. It was my soul calling me to that desire and that urge. And I have had a wonderful time traveling, and I'm not done yet, because I love seeing what's happening in this amazing world of ours and being in places where it's one thing to see pictures, but it's another thing to be there. You see all the pictures you want to of the Grand Canyon, but there is nothing to compare to stepping up to the rim for the first time and having your breath taken away. It is just an amazing kind of sense of calling. Another sense of calling for me in those early days was in my, a little later in my older childhood. We were good Baptists. So my mother went to church morning and evening on Sundays. And because they didn't have childcare at night, I usually stayed home with my dad or whatever. And so sometimes we would go get her, or we'd go get treats while she was at church and then go pick her up. And I remember so clearly driving up to that church building and other church buildings in town, driving by them and seeing this light coming through the windows at night. It'd be pitch black all around, not a lot of street lights in that little town. And this church would be like this beacon. And I always felt this urge. Sometimes you hear people singing in the building, and it was just always this feeling like, I want to be in there. I want to be part of that. I want to be feeling that warmth. That's what I was thinking. That's what I associated it with, was warmth and safety and a place of some kind of loving connection. I always got a lot of attention when I showed up, so that was always a plus, still is. And that was an urge, a calling, a pulling from within me towards something. And I couldn't even articulate it. And the way I would have at the time has little to do what I think is actually with what it actually was. So your soul's calling may be something big, and it may be a direction in life. It may be something you're doing on the outside, but it may also simply be those gentle nudges inside of you towards something that seems like it should be better, should be different, should be what you would want to be in order to live the way you want to live, in order to have the life that you could imagine being the very best. It's like a nudge, a gentle nudge from within. And it's a nudge towards that which is your truest and highest expression of yourself. It may be a nudge towards joy. It may be a nudge towards happiness, towards a full life. I mean, the things that you're pulling toward often are those things which would give you that once you allow them, once you move into them. And they are sometimes a bit hidden, but sometimes very obvious. See, later in my life, as I got into different religions, I began to get the idea that that your soul is calling you to sacrifice. Your soul is calling you to give up a whole lot in order to follow one spiritual path or another. And that's not what's real true. That's not the truth. Sometimes there is some sacrificing, giving up involved, but that's only when we get out of alignment with that calling, and we have to give up the things that we got off track with. I have a friend who's often told me, still does at times, because I hear her voice in my head, that the path to success, the road to real joy and living full, is often lined with some really convenient parking places. Now, you probably know what some of those are for you. But there's that inner part of us that is always moving us and calling us toward that greater expression of who and what we are and how we can become and how we can get there. You say, well, all that sounds really sweet and nice and great, Dr. Bob. However, I'm living this life the way it is now, not some ideal thing you've got going in your head. Because there's a whole lot in the world right now that isn't exactly calling me. And there's a whole lot in the world that isn't exactly comfortable. And there's a whole lot in the world that does not seem to be guiding me towards greater joy or greater freedom or greater love, but guiding me towards something else altogether. Or else it's pushing me. And that's where it becomes really important to start paying attention. And that's where the title of today's talk comes from. That's about discomfort. Leaning into our discomfort. Last week, we talked about being pushed by our pain till we're pulled by our vision. So we're doing a little deeper dive with it today. It's not even about pain. It's about sometimes just our discomforts show up. See, and our discomforts can be small or large, or they are, they can be all over the place. You know what you're talking. You know what yours are. I'm not going to list them for you, even if I know what they are for you. But they're very important because discomfort shows up for a positive reason, even though at the time it may not feel that way. And the positive reasons are several. One is that it shows me what I require to be comfortable. I wouldn't know that if I weren't uncomfortable. Because the discomfort says, oh, wait, what's missing here? What am I wanting? What am I needing? What am I requiring to create? I love that word require. You know, anytime you talk about what you needs in this teaching, if we talk about needs in this teaching, we are talking about as if we're missing something from within our very essence and our truth. I need this. I need that. Whereas when we start thinking in terms of manifesting and creating a better experience for ourselves, if we get out of the idea of needs and being needy and get into the idea of requiring, I require certain things. I require folks to treat me kindly, and I require treating other people kindly, even when they irritate me. So requiring. So your your discomfort is there to show you what you require in life. It is also there to show you where you are in your placement on the path of life within your own integrity. When I'm out of integrity, I'm uncomfortable. And I sometimes don't realize I'm out of integrity until I am uncomfortable. which is kind of sad because I wish I'd know first so I could fix it before I get uncomfortable, but I can't. And sometimes that discomfort can be really big if I'm out of integrity. Or I have an exchange with someone and it seems to be all just fine. And then I walk away and I'm uncomfortable. And I'm like, why am I uncomfortable? What's that about? And so if I dig a little, if I listen a little in my own inner self, I can get an answer for that. And the other and last thing I'll say about that is our discomforts show us where we need to grow and what we need to know. You know, the strongest message I can always offer for myself when things just seem to be not working the way I feel like they should, and I'm uncomfortable and I can't quite nail it down, is there's something that I need to know here. Not something I need to fix, not something you need to do, but something to know. You know, I don't know if this is what the original meaning of it was or not, but there's a great expression in the Bible that Jesus said that we should love our enemies. I always thought, well, okay, that's where you can be nice and you can appear to be loving and all that stuff. Well, it isn't. It's because your enemies, whether it's people or perceived people or institutions or thoughts, are there to teach you how to stay clearer and to grow toward a greater expression of oneness, a greater expression of love, a greater expression of life. So I love them because of the information they can give me about myself. What am I thinking about? What have I begun to believe that would attract those experiences, those thoughts, those discomforts into my life? So the important thing to do with our discomforts is not to make them wrong. It's not to dive in into them and start listing all the reasons there's something wrong with them or something wrong with me or something wrong with other people. Carl Jung said this: those who look outside themselves dream. They dream of what could be, they dream of what couldn't be, they dream of what was. Those who look inside awaken. See, when I make it wrong, when I make the discomfort wrong, whether it's a people or person or an experience, any of that, then I'm judging it. I'm saying it's wrong. There's something terrible about that. They shouldn't do that, or I need to do something differently, or there's something wrong with me. But all of it gets tangled up in the idea that my power is out there, and the power of my life and the power that guides my life and the power that creates my life is all out there and controlled by someone else, controlled by something outside of myself. And that's just not true. However, instead of making things wrong, making our discomforts wrong, making them bad, what if we make them a place for understanding? What if I choose to understand them? And to understand myself in the process. I can use those guides, those ideas of what is this telling me about myself? What is it I want that I'm not getting, that this discomfort is expressing? What is it that I'm getting that I don't want, that I'm uncomfortable about? You know, we're in a world right now facing up to a whole lot of discomfort. You know that. I know that. Politics. I'm not comfortable with most people talking about politics. Why? Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what's going to happen in the conversation. I'm afraid they're going to say things that my anger is going to get out of control and I'm going to respond to in a way that isn't very ministerial or kind either. But if I look deeper behind that and I remember the power of my life is in here, it's not out there in my consciousness. What is it about that conversation that I want so badly to fix? because I'm naming it as something wrong. I got uncomfortable during Jamie Lulith's song. I had forgotten that that little bridge in the middle is all about the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. We don't teach the Lord in the way that most Christian groups do. When he uses that language, he's using the word law from our perspective. That turns a spiritual law to change what's happening outside of me because it's in response to my highest idea of what is truth. The same thing is true in dealing with political conversations. My own understanding of spiritual law is that it allows and provides me ways to respond and be responded to that are kind, that are loving, that are positive. Doesn't necessarily mean agreed with, but you know, I'm really okay with sometimes for people to be totally wrong. It's okay with me if you are. Now, of course, what does that really mean? What that really means is I'm comfortable with my position and my beliefs and my thoughts, and I don't need to fix yours because they're not wrong. They're not wrong. They're right for you. Another area of great discomfort is racism. And right now, it is for me. I grew up in the Deep South. I grew up in a small town in Florida. I began to realize as a child that it was nuts, so much of what I was hearing. And so I really went to work on myself and on my understanding. And by the time I was in college, I felt like I was not a racist and was moving down the line of that and feeling very positive and very hopeful and really lived from a place of seeing all people as expressions of God and yet unique and individualized in their own ways. Celebrating who they are, celebrating whatever their racial identity is. Until the first time someone talked to me about white privilege, and then I got really, really defensive. And I thought, why am I being so defensive? I was born into about 2,000 years of white privilege that's been nurtured and been developed and part of this planet. And yes, at times it has been used horribly. And there's no excuse for that. And I would never knowingly participate in something like that. So once I quit defending myself as if I were wrong for being born into white privilege and started to take a look at what does that really mean and try to understand ways in which I'm perpetuating it and ways in which I'm doing harm in that process and the ways in which I can use that privilege then to bring greater good, to be an ally, to be a supporter, to go way beyond just being an ally, but to really be someone to stand up and speak up when there is totally off-kilter stuff. My calling is to love and to be loved. My calling is to love all people equally. And to not let any externals affect or change that. Those are uncomfortable topics. And I suspect I've created some discomfort here. I'm a white male. I got another whole set of uncomfortable topics to go with that. We won't go through all of this. But the important thing is being willing to lean into the discomfort enough to see what it's really about for you and then find that place of freedom, that place of forgiveness. Forgiveness is all about letting go. Forgiveness is about letting go of this smaller thought in order to be open to the larger thought. Forgiveness is letting go of the belief that I am somehow wrong and you're somehow wrong and making room for the bigger and the greater. And all of that is in service of your soul's calling. All of that is allowing that power within you that is pulling you to a greater expression of life, to a greater expression of God. It's pulling you there so that you can live more freely, more joyfully, and in a greater way. How do you forgive? It's pretty easy. Though it's not simple. It's pretty simple. It's not easy. I guess it's better. You name it, you claim it, you dump it. Get really honest with yourself about that which needs to be forgiven in you, or that you feel you're carrying some judgment, some criticism of someone else. Name it clearly. See it for what it is. Claim it and then dump it. Because you see, the power of your life is that you have within you, living as you and through you, an infinite power, a oneness that is limitless. It is all-knowing. And it is all-loving. And it is present with you always. And so the place to deal with it, to look at all of this stuff, is not out there. It's in here. It's in myself. I often ask the question, what would love do at this time? What would love be if I were to show up in life as if love is all there is? How would I be different? The truth is, love is all there is. It's twisted and distorted and comes out in all kinds of ways that don't look loving at all. But Emma Curtis Hopkins, one of the founders of New Thought and our teaching, says that even when someone's robbing a liquor store, they're doing it out of some kind of distorted love. Love for themselves, that this is the only way they can get what they need. Love. Twisted, turned, and turned all around. And that's also an uncomfortable idea and topic for people. Lean into it. Spend some time with it. Name it, claim it, dump it. Because you don't need to carry all that judgment around, because your soul's call is already driving you, drawing you toward that which is yours, that which is best for you, and that which can bring greater good to yourself and to everyone else. You know, I want to close with the words of a song I heard over the weekend, sung by the Four Tenors. They're an interesting crossover group between pop and classical and fabulous voices. It was written by the Nashville String Machine. And the words say this: in the world, it's hard to tell shadow from light. What is real can find a way to hide behind the lies. That is for sure. Don't be fooled or ruled by voices all around you. Because your road, will always be revealed. If you lead with your heart. It's the one thing you can trust to always come from love. And it will shine right through the dark like a northern star, to show you what is true. You'll never lose if only you will lead with your heart. When you face your discomforts, lead with your heart. When you feel and you're being drawn toward that true calling, that soul calling, that which is calling within you to be something perhaps more loving, perhaps with greater freedom, perhaps to live with peace, pure peace. What may appear to be uncomfortable interferences can simply be dissolved by leading with your heart. Join me, if you will, in a few moments of quiet, a few moments of meditation. With a nice deep breath and a moment of settling. Letting go of any discomfort that this talk has raised or any questions or concerns you may have. Turning away from my voice, turning away from the world outside, turning to the source of your true life, the source of your true beingness, which is within. And as I turn to that source, I feel it within me that I am more than my body. I'm more than the world around me. I'm more than the physical things I have acquired. I touch and feel within me those silent, gentle nudges of love, of life, that are calling me to a greater experience of living. For I am designed to live in peace. I am designed to live in love. I am designed to create in a world that says yes to my creations. I am designed to become a better me, that I make the world a better place just by being here. Breathing air and taking up space is enough. I'm designed to be carried forward with ease, with grace, to know what there is to know and to know it when I need to know it, knowing that there is that divine, infinite knowledge within me that reveals itself to me at the right moments. I'm designed to let those discomforts simply dissolve once they've shown me what they are there to show me. And so I let that happen. I let it be. And then I slide easily into gratitude. Gratitude for all life. Gratitude for my life. Gratitude for the teachers and leaders and spiritual guides who built this amazing thing we call New Thought, Science of Mind. It's actually Science of Mind and Spirit. And as I sink into that gratitude for the people who have walked with me on my soul's journey, as have walked with you on your soul's journey, as we all take a moment of gratitude for each of them and all of them. Many of whom are nameless. In this place of gratitude, I can release this treatment now, knowing that I am a forever being and that the life I am living will continue to unfold into greater and greater good. And my soul's call is answered. This is my truth. This is my northern star. This is my heart. I let it be, and so it is. So thank you. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for listening. I want to turn it over now to back to Doug to talk a little about how you can support and participate in our center.
Thank you for that wonderful talk, Dr. Bob Dean.
Thank you.
So we just spent a lot of time and reflected a lot on what messages resonate with us on the heart level and how that spirit calls out to each and every one of us. on a heart level. And if you feel that this teaching is reaching you and grabbing you on that heart level, we encourage you or are excited by the opportunity that you join us and feel that you can give to our community too. We call it grateful giving. And what we learn in this teaching is that when we give to the world with our hearts, more of what we love shows up and demonstrates its beauty in our own lives and in the world and makes it all a better place for everyone. So if you feel inclined to give, you can certainly do that. We have our website where you can log on to and go to and give via credit card. We also have our address that also allows you to mail in a check if you so feel inclined to do so. But if you would, please join me now in our affirmation of prosperity. We'll say this together. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Thank you for that. And I believe now we're getting ready to, we're going to move to our announcements. Next Sunday, we're going to continue our theme, The Soul's Call, Sunday, June 20th, which is also Father's Day. The topic of next week's talk will be What's Evolution Without Love with Reverend Dr. Bob Dean. You can also join us on Zoom after the celebration for our discussion. Just hang around and feel free to talk and catch up with friends. We also have an online spiritual empowerment session Tuesday afternoons from 12 to 12:30. Join that with Wisdom on Wednesdays from 7 to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can find links to both of these using the same Zoom chat room that we are currently using right now. Please remember to share the broadcast news on Facebook with your friends on your personal Facebook pages. You never know who you might reach, and you might have some friends and family members who might enjoy or benefit from joining in and hearing the message that we bring to the world too. You can also subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you've not been receiving our newsletters, please send us an email, info@cslmidtown.org. And we also have a Sunday morning discussion group that meets at 10 a.m. The discussion group uses the 365 Science of Mind text, which are a beautiful collection of daily meditations and reflections by Ernest Holmes. And as I said earlier, if you have any need for a practitioner, if we can be of service to you and guiding you along, we're not going to tell you what you need to do or what you're answers to your challenges might be, but we're going to gently nudge and guide you so that you discover them within yourself and know that you have everything that you need. Please contact one of our practitioners. We're happy to help out. We've got an excellent team of very well-seasoned and experienced practitioners. Just a great group of people here at CSL Midtown Atlanta. You can find them on the website too, as well as complete a request for either getting together with a practitioner or soliciting for prayer requests. So that's it for our announcements. And I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Bob Dean.
Thanks. Well, I appreciated it. So we are in the business of getting back together in person. The Center for Spiritual Living Midtown is a worldwide organization now. We are broadcasting everywhere. We have people involved with us from various countries around the globe. And we are going to begin to do our forward step of having some in-person events right here in Atlanta. So look for that. Watch for that. There's a survey out right now. If you haven't filled it out, please do so. Telling us a little about what you're interested in doing as we start to get together as in person. But I will say we have the very first one of those events, which will be a social event to simply get used to seeing people again and being in the same room, which we will have on the 18th of July on a Sunday evening. And watch for the announcements about that. It will be a wonderful evening of food and fellowship and some truth speaking as well. So I look forward to sharing more with you about that. But for now, join me in our closing remarks as we look at the affirmation of life, which says this: I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life within me that moves through me. And so it is. I seem to be determined to rewrite those things tonight. I will say that you have what you need to create the life within, regardless of what's happening out there. And so it is. Goodbye.